This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Just in time to relax after the hectic holidays, we're speaking with Aaron Lemke of Unello Design about his recently released virtual reality relaxation experience, Eden River HD. Tonight is December 28th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
See, the thing about not doing the show live is that I always force myself to do the intro like 10 times. And I still flubbed it. And I'm just going to keep that one because I'm tired of doing it over and over again. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a pre-taped edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. Unfortunately, even though I lied in the intro, we're not taking your calls or your chat comments because I'm not live tonight because of my other gig. I am probably on my way home by now, maybe, but I am unfortunately not going to be able to be there live. Although people on the VogNetwork.com are actually listening right now. They are at live.VogNetwork.com, but they can't check in. But there is going to be a passphrase that the live listeners will actually hear. And when the podcast episode goes up, probably Wednesday, when the podcast version goes up, they will be able to put that passphrase in and get points. They could either do that in 2014 at the end of the year or wait until January 2015 and have the points count towards then. It's a whole little metagame there. You can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. And I wanted to point out first that the Video Game Jam is going on January 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right when this show starts. That is when all the entries need to be in. We have a forum dedicated to the Video Game Jam, the VOG Jam, which has people posting what they're making. We're asking people to kind of give some regular status updates. You can make a game. The theme is a buggy game. That was the theme that the Orange Lounge Radio listeners selected. So you have to make a buggy game, and you can interpret that however you wish. There are multiple different interpretations of a buggy game. It does not have to be the one that immediately comes to your mind. Hopefully you started on yours. I haven't started on mine yet, so I need to get cracking on that. But unfortunately... I'm busy tomorrow, but hey, I won't have a show tomorrow night. So maybe, or tonight, you're listening to this Sunday night. I'm doing this Saturday. This is weird. And I don't have the chat room like yelling at me or anything. This is kind of weird. So we have an interview tonight. This was an interview I was originally going to have live tomorrow night, but because I don't know next week if I'm going to be live or not, it really depends on what happens. Happened earlier today based on people that are listening live. So watch my Twitter. We may also be pre-taped next week or just may not have a show next week. I don't know. Really depends on scheduling of other things, of sports ball and football. But tonight we have an interview, and this is all because, I've been stressed out the holiday season, having to, rush around and get things for family and having it be raining and everything here and storming. It's been kind of hard to go out and do those errands because everybody's out and they're all rushing. And then you add slick roads. It wasn't a good experience, but I needed to relax. And so that's why I invited us to have an interview. So this is an all Oculus Rift, all virtual reality episode. So hope you still have some eggnog. So you can get drunk off of it while you still can. So tonight's interview that I have here is I'm with Aaron Lemke of Unello Design, and he does a lot of virtual reality experiences, not necessarily games in the sense that you would think, but more, the one I've played most recently. It's a very relaxing experience. So, Aaron, thank you so much for spending some time with me this weekend, this holiday weekend, basically. So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Eden River HD, a virtual reality relaxation experience.
Sure. I am a VR developer in Austin, Texas. And Eden River is my first full title. Like you said, it's very relaxing. It's a virtual nature experience where you fly down a river with birds and animals. And it's just supposed to be calming and, you know, a counterpoint to all of the horror demos and action demos out there.
Now, this is not your first rodeo with VR experiences. I know you were pretty active, especially back in the DK1 days. Tell us a little bit about what you've done before, where you came from to get to this point of releasing your first full experience.
Yeah. I got the DK1 kind of right after the Kickstarter, and I was working on another project at the time, actually another game, and the DK1 came in the mail, and I basically just completely dropped that other project because you can't not try to make stuff for the DK1. It's just really exciting. And back then, I mean, the first demo I tried was Team Fortress 2, which is not a pleasant experience. It's very fast-paced. And it just seemed like a lot of the demos were, like I said, kind of horror action. And so I wanted to explore that other part of it. So, I guess the first game I made didn't really fit into that. First game I made was called Fire Breather. And it used the microphone on your computer. And so based on how loud you were talking or yelling, it would shoot fire out of your mouth. It was pretty cool because the fire emitter is attached to your face. And so wherever you're looking, you'll be spewing fire that way. I guess that one's not super relaxing. But the second one I made was called Waking Man, which again used the microphone on your computer. And this time it just echoes everything that's happening around you. So it's kind of cool if you're into meditating or chanting. It's cool to hear yourself and sort of hum along with yourself. Or I just like to play my guitar into it because it sounds cool. And then I made the original Eden River after that. And out of those three, people really seemed to respond to Eden River the most. Like, I just think there's a lot of people who want that type of experience and there aren't a ton of people making it. So people would just email me out of the blue or tell me in YouTube comments like, oh, this is like the experience I've been waiting for, this kind of thing. And so that's just seeing that kind of feedback. That's really ultimately why I decided to make it a full experience.
And then you also did one about I remember seeing one about like the being on the moon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's called Lunadroid 237. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a interactive short film, that's what I was calling it. And that game's actually really awesome. Everybody should go play it. It's free up on my website. I think it's only DK1 right now. I need to get that out on DK2.
Yeah, it would be really fun. Because I have my DK1 still, but it's like I've got all my computer finally set up for the DK2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to revert everything back for the old DK1 and
right.
All that stuff. So that's why I missed it when it first came out for whatever reason. I apologize, but I kind of wish I didn't.
No, I just need to port it over. You're totally right. That's a good one. It's really my love letter to Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
2001.
Yeah, and see, I grew up personally, back in the days. I don't know if you ever heard of or remember the demo scene. The PC or like PC mm-hmm. and Amiga demos back in the 80s and the 90s and stuff, which were all these kind of, it was more experiences done with computer animation.
Huh.
And we're kind of seeing that. I mean, the closest thing now on the Oculus Rift, Sensapezo would fall under the exact same category because where it's, you know, them, it's a non-interactive experience. And that's kind of what a lot of these old demos were. You know, I was a big fan of like Future Crew and Second Reality, their demo, and they used to do these competitions where people would make demos and show them off at events. And I really like that, and it's kind of interesting that a lot of that type of stuff, even the more interactive style but more experiences and less games, I kind of like that that's coming back with virtual reality.
Yeah.
So
what's that called again? Demo scene?
Yeah, it's called the demo scene. There were PC. It was big on the Amiga. And then, but the PC also got into it in the 90s, and that's really when I got into it. And you can find a lot of information about it online. It's hidden because a lot of people forgot about it by now.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to check that out. As far as experiences, though, one thing I've noticed is in VR, the second you put, traditional game goals in front of someone, they stop looking around and they stop, taking in the environment. They just focus in on the goal. And, maybe they're collecting something, but they kind of just start playing like they're using a monitor, mm-hmm. Unless the mechanic is like you have to look around or something.
Right. Well, and I find
you want people to look around.
I find when I'm demoing around to people, I have to tell them you can look around.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And then they'll say, "Well, I am looking around." I'm like, "No, your head hasn't moved yet." And then when they move their head the first time, that's when it clicks in their head.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So now I noticed in this, you did not just you did also the programming, but you also did the music. What's your musical background?
I grew up playing in bands in Austin. Everyone's in a band in Austin.
Yeah,
but
I was just about to ask. I mean, I went to college in Athens, Georgia, so it's kind of the same thing.
Oh, nice.
There.
Very cool. Yeah. I played drums since I don't know. I was 11. Mm-hmm. And I just got to play in a lot of really good bands and hang out and meet a lot of really talented musicians. I don't know. I played in traditional rock bands and jazz bands and country bands and stuff. But I've written songs like singer-songwriter-y songs. But I don't know. It just never really felt like it fit. It never really felt like that's what I was supposed to do is go play in a band, because that's a really hard life too.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I kind of, I think it was around 2008, maybe, whenever the first Humble Bundle came out, and it had some games in it that was just fantastic music. Braid was in there, mm-hmm. a game called Machinarium or Machinarium by Amanita Design. That's one of my all-time favorite games. But the music in those games is just, it's so good.
Yeah.
And especially in Machinarium, the music and the visual style work together. There's like this incredible synergy that happens that's very rare. And that had a really powerful effect on me. So I remember thinking I could make music for games, I guess. And then that turned into, well, if I make the games, then I can make all the music I want for my
right.
games.
And I noticed in Eden River, in the HD version, the version that just came out on Steam like a couple of weeks ago, it seems like you've even done some dynamic things where the music changes as you go along or you complete
yeah.
certain goals.
Yeah, in that one, it's kind of a bass music track that plays every time. And then each time you get a new companion, a new bird to come fly with you, it fades in a new track. Mm-hmm. So the drums will fade in, or like a pedal steel guitar will come in, or another banjo or something. But yeah, it's kind of like a, I don't know. Yeah, it's like an interactive musical story.
So what did you spend more time doing, programming or composing?
Ooh, optimizing? I started Eden River HD. I'd made those other demos, but I still, at the beginning of it, kind of didn't know what I was doing. And it's really only recently have I felt like I've gotten good enough to, to really make a game run well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with Eden River, it was a case of like me throwing all this crap into the scene, like all these cool trees and stuff, and then trying to run it, or really the DK2 came out and we had to start running stuff at 75 frames a second, and that just killed everything. So I had to go back, and there's nothing less fun than going back and like optimizing a game that like after the fact, it's
right.
just a mess. Yeah, that's what I spent most of my time doing. And I tried to hire people, and like I had to learn all this stuff. It was actually good. I mean, it was a good experience. And really, a lot of that learning process was having to make things run on mobile, because I was working on Gear too around the same time. And developing for mobile really, it's like boot camp. Like if it just makes you a better, more sensible developer, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. I mean, this is maybe like a unintended thing that Oculus has going on now, but making all of us devs create stuff for mobile phones, it's just going to be so much easier than when we go back to the PC,
right.
especially if we have to run Crescent Bay at 90 frames a second or something.
Well, and that's even what I've been seeing is because I've got a Gear VR, but things that were made in Gear VR that are things that people optimize for Gear VR and then bring back and put out the DK2 version, those are the best running things on my DK2 because I don't I have an aging computer. Mm-hmm. My graphics card's maybe 4 or 5 years old. I really do need to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. But some of the games and stuff, especially the ones that appeared on the on Gear VR, they run like butter. And I'm like, why do I need to upgrade again? Mm-hmm. You just need to. And that's one of the things when you go and look at the demo scene, that's a lot of the stuff they did because you'll see the one that I like to tell people first is it's called a Second Reality and it's by Future Crew. It came out in 1992 and was running on a 486. And they did like a whole, like, they called it virtual reality, but it was a whole, like, 3D polygonal city scene with a spaceship flying through it. And we had never seen anything like that on our computer at that time. Cool. And that's a lot. And then they went on to be, they worked for, like, 3D Mark later on. I think some of them worked on Max Payne. They got, like, big jobs in the game industry because they were able to code so much. So basically, one of the questions I had sitting here was what was one of the biggest challenges you had overcome developing for VR? And I think you just answered it. It was optimizing it. Am I getting a Gear VR version soon?
Of Eden River?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it. It's done. It's submitted to the store. I'm just waiting for it to come out, really. Okay. They're kind of rolling out content in bundles.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah, which at first I was a little bummed about, but I think it's a good thing.
It gets excitement up, kind of like back in the early days of the Xbox 360 when they finally figured out Xbox Live Arcade was something to worry about or mm-hmm. something to they would roll out things every week, and so every week we would be like, okay, what comes out this week? And mm-hmm. that's the same feeling I get with Gear VR.
I think it's smart. It also gives developers. A better chance to stand out. Like if everything was just dumped at once, it'd be hard to sift through all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
But it's out on Steam right now, and it only works with Oculus Rift right now. There is no monitor version available.
There is no monitor version. There is a Google Cardboard version, mm-hmm. Which is basically just the Gear version but ported to Google Cardboard, mm-hmm. and that's on the Google Play Store, or you can buy that on my website too.
So. Here's kind of a tough question a little bit. Do you think that there's a large enough market for these relaxation experiences? Because you've got this priced at $999,
mm-hmm.
which some may say, especially if they don't do the endless mode, because you've mm-hmm. got two different modes and then an endless mode. It's about 10 minutes maybe if you do both modes, and then that's, $10. Do you honestly think there's a big enough market for that kind of price?
Probably not, and a lot. I mean, River is very content heavy. It's just a big chunk of content, basically, and that's why I'm charging that much. But all of the stuff that I'm working on for the future, for Gear and for other stuff, is much lower price point, much more like mobile price point. Mm-hmm. I definitely think there is a market, at least from my experience. I think it's going to grow over time because right now it's still, this is the innovator's edition. And a lot of the people who have Rifts or Gears, they're gamers. And so they're looking for, a shooter or a more typical type of game. But from my experience, the sort of slow-paced relaxation works or is received really well by non-gamers. A lot of people use Eden River, or so I've heard, to introduce people to VR for the first time. It's easy to stomach. And I don't know, I like the idea of making something that's more of a utility. It's certainly expressive, but it's has a function. It's for relaxing or, I think it's going to grow as the market broadens.
And at least when you have the $999 price, that means you can have good numbers on the Steam sales.
Yes, indeed.
So now in Eden River, just to kind of explain what it I hate using this term, how you quote unquote play it.
Yeah, we need new words for all this stuff.
We need new words. but how you control it, I guess, is basically you have a head tilting mechanism, and you have to go through. And if you don't tilt your head ever, you do hit rocks.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I had it before where you could just cruise forwards. Mm-hmm. And in the endless mode, you can just cruise forwards. But okay. I had that. I added a lot of those rocks during the optimization process because you need stuff that's going to occlude the stuff that's behind it. Mm-hmm. So at first, I just had like a giant level that was really long and it was all in front of you the whole time you were playing. And that's like the dumbest thing you can do in a game. Mm-hmm. It's just like render everything in your scene all the time. So that's why I had to put those big rocks in.
Yeah, and I noticed that some people will be like, well, why do I have to go? But it's a kind of interesting that it's actually a technical, that's how you optimized it, was putting that in.
Yeah, and the cardboard version too, it's more about exploring and it's using, there's a lot more steering and kind of looking, going through little canyons and finding little special nooks and crannies and stuff. The mobile version, I'll say, it's completely different. It's a totally different environment.
Now, speaking of other environments, when I tilt all the way in the main menu and go all the way to the right, there's some great out areas that say coming soon. What are those, and when are we going to be able to see those?
Ooh, I don't know. I have no idea. I just kind of just finished up Eden River and did the Steam thing, so at least for a while, I'm going to start focusing on other projects. Mm-hmm. I've got some ideas for stuff kind of in a similar vein to Eden River that's going to be specifically for Gear VR.
Okay, because it said there was like new environments or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, I would like to make new environments, and I intend to eventually. It's just not, I don't have concrete plans at the moment.
Maybe if it sells gangbusters?
Yeah. Well, I think that's gonna be what makes Eden River work is giving people a bunch of choices.
Yeah.
Because if there's one critique a lot of people have, it's like this is just one thing, you know. And you know, maybe the people like going to, you know, space, or they want to go to a snowy, you know, icy world, or you know, springtime or the desert. You know, it's like you could just make a bunch of environments and give people the choice.
So have you considered allowing people to use their own music? Let's say they want to, you know, use Pink Floyd or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to do that. I definitely want to do that. I think I didn't do it because I couldn't figure out how, like, quickly enough. But, yeah, that's another thing that a lot of people have asked for.
So you're on Steam. Did you go through Greenlight?
No, Valve just loves VR, and they're very eager to have a bunch of good VR content on their store. I just emailed them.
Okay.
Well, I that's not true. I went to Steam Dev Days.
Okay.
And my goal was to just find someone at Steam who does VR stuff. And I got a good contact there, and she really hooked me up.
Okay. So,
but it's like they want VR content. They love VR.
Yeah, but I noticed there's no cards.
There's no what?
There's no Steam cards.
What do you mean?
Or Steam achievements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, again, just didn't really know how to do all that stuff.
Because I would relax a lot if I could get some cards to trade.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because the cards drop based on how long you're in there.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you get a card drop every 30 seconds, and they're trading cards and stuff. Oh.
Can you? Okay, I don't really know that much about the card system. So you make your own cards? Like I'll make a little piece of art and put it on a card?
I guess. I don't know how it works in the Steam API, but that's like one of, like that and the achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to add those in.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because they drop based on how long you're in. So it's like I think every 30 minutes a card drops.
Cool.
But you have to be running the game.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that would be perfect, actually.
This is the bird. This is the fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Or, you know, just an achievement for getting all the birds or
right
stuff like that.
Because basically, for people who haven't been able to play it or see this, I hate the term play, you have to go and there's these flower petals that are kind of on either side of the river, so you actually have to go over to them, and then as you get those, you get more companions flying around you, swimming under you. It's very relaxing. I will give it that.
Cool.
Where do you think the experience genre, which I'm going to actually term it that because on Samsung's Gear VR on the Oculus Home, they have games, apps, and experiences, three totally different things. Where do you think the experience genre goes from here?
Oh, man, I just think that's that area is so much more exciting than games even, because it's completely unexplored. I think storytelling is going to be big. That's still like a super vague thing to say, but some kind of, you know, some kind of short film. That's definitely something I want to make probably next year sometime. It's just kind of play around with telling a story and you know, interacting with characters. There's not a ton of demos that have characters in it. And I think, I mean, the first time I put the birds in Eden River and flew next to them, it was like, whoa, that feels like there's a bird there, you know? And it was a pretty powerful thing. So I imagine if you do that with a human who's looking at you and emoting at you and talking to you, it could be really, really powerful.
Yeah, there's this one demo that I saw for the DK2. I saw it on the Oculus subreddit, and it's called Coffee Without Words.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's just, I sat there and I'm like, really? Wow. Because they actually, you're sitting in a coffee shop with this girl who doesn't want to look at you, but does want to look at you. And she actually will follow you around with her eyes and then avert her gaze and then look back at you and everything. And it's just, that is one of the more, that's the presence word that everybody's looking for, is something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember at Oculus Connect when I demoed the Crescent Bay headset. Mm-hmm. One of the demos in there is this alien that's just kind of looking at you, and his eyes are following you, and he'll cock his head, and it's like I really felt like he saw me. You know, he thought I was there. I can't wait for that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe you'll be doing it. What's next for Unello Design? What are you going to be working on next?
I'm working on a new app for Gear VR that's relaxation based, in a similar vein, but a little bit more experimental, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'd love to do some kind of storytelling, short film of sorts.
All right. Well, keep us in the loop, Aaron. Tell us where they can find out more about your stuff and where they can find your experiences.
Yeah, you can go to unellodesign.com. UNELLO Design. I am on Twitter at Aaron Lemke, and shoot me a tweet.
And just search Eden River on Steam, and it'll come up.
Yep, and Google Play also.
And on Google Play, and soon for the Gear VR.
Yes,
sometime.
Soon. Sometime. That's all I told me.
When John Carmack says it's okay, because you know he's making all the decisions. He's really
right.
All right. Thanks so much for spending some time today with me.
Thank you for having me, Bobby.
All right. Well, guess what? That's it for tonight. I got one more thing I got to do. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase sign. So next Sunday night, maybe a live show, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Follow my Twitter. Or I'll probably, you know, if there is not going to be a live show, you'll hear me bust in right here with a record scratch. Yeah, we'll be live. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackwolf, or you can submit questions on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. This is the time I would normally read all the names, the chatters that were with us for the live show, but we're not live. So even though I can kind of guess who is in chat right now, I'm not going to do that. So come in next week if we're live and get your name read then. But that's it for me. I hope you have a very safe and happy new year. Try not to blow yourselves up, because a charred you is not a good you. So be safe. See you next year. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.